Well, good morning, church. If you've got your Bibles, please open them to Matthew chapter 7. We are coming down to the last few messages in the Sermon on the Mount, and I think what we're going to get at today might just be correctly labeled as the climax of the Sermon on the Mount, the summation of it, if you will. And so as we look at it, we're going to see then some very familiar verses. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we've seen a lot of familiar verses, the Beatitudes that Jesus told us were salt and light. We're given the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. We're told where your treasure is, there your heart will be. We're told, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And then last week we looked at, judge not, lest you be judged. And so we've seen a lot of familiar verses, some that are very prevalent in Christian culture, very prevalent in even the culture at large. A lot of times people who aren't believers, who don't trust in Jesus as Savior, will know some of these verses. And of course, we're going to read at least one of those verses today. And it's one that we've all probably heard and considered before in our lives. I think maybe some of you have it up in your house, maybe. We had a magnet on our fridge at home that had a verse on there. Of course, if you've read ahead, it's verse 12, Matthew 7, verse 12, the golden rule. And so we're going to discuss kind of what that means, but in the larger context, it's far beyond just treat others like you want to be treated. It gets, in this section, Jesus is talking about to the point of living the kingdom life and the power that you live that in. And so our sermon today is Kingdom Power. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12 to talk about these things. Now, as we've already seen throughout these sermons, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus is pursuing hearts. That he's not concerned first and foremost about behavior or the religious acts that you do or the type of person that you are in public or to the world, but rather what Jesus is getting at is that he wants people whose hearts love him, whose hearts pursue him, whose hearts are cleansed and remade by him. And so when we're looking then at the kingdom or the Sermon on the Mount dealing with kingdom power, it's no different. Jesus wants our hearts to be turned toward him. And so a key to being the kingdom person that he wants us all to be is to live then in the kingdom power that is provided. I think we all want to live lives that are exhibited by an obvious connection to God. I think if we've been believers very long at all, we might have the idea that when people are interacting with us, when we are talking with people out in the culture, out in the world, that we want to be reflective of Jesus, that we want them to see him when they're interacting with us. At least that should be our goal. We would love for people to see us and feel like they've encountered someone who truly knows God and thus draws them to him as well. But my question is, how does such a thing happen? Is it random? You just wish on a shining star and poof, you reflect Jesus? Again, I think when we consider this question, how do we become the people that reflect Jesus? We might automatically think of doing religious things, doing religious rituals, or think back to the time when maybe you prayed to receive Christ, or you were dunked in the water, or you said a public prayer at this place or that place, or so-and-so in my family, they were the strongest believer I've ever known, or things like that. But essentially, what we're getting down to is though those things are good and laudable and noble, they don't make up the essence of who you as an individual are. And this is why Jesus wants our hearts to be given to him, so that in our innermost being, we know and love and follow Christ. And so then the things that flow afterward would be a testimony of him in our hearts. And so In our scripture this morning, we will see Jesus' words about the key habits to living in kingdom power that will make us into the kingdom people he wants us to be, and the type of kingdom people who will make an impact in our communities and in the world. So, do you want to be that kind of Christian this morning? The type of kingdom person that has Jesus with them and it's obvious to the world around them? Are you sick and tired of constantly being dragged back into the upside down world that we were redeemed from? Of course, my prayer is that you are answering yes. Do you long to live in a genuine relationship with God? And so as we then consider these things, we're going to hear from Jesus' words about these things. And so my purpose this morning is that you will change the slide. Oh, there you go. Okay. That you will live a joyful kingdom life in the power of God. And so as we consider that purpose, I think what we're going to see is that there are three habits of kingdom people living in kingdom power. Now, when we look at or consider these verses, it's obvious to want to skip ahead to the golden rule because that's well and good, but we need the greater context. And I think in the greater context verse 12, what we're going to see is that there are other things that we need to be these types of kingdom people. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, and then when we finish, I'll bow and we'll all pray together. Starting in verse 7, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What man among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. This is the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Our Lord, as we have read from your word today and considered this section of the Sermon on the Mount, God, I pray that you will bless the preaching of your word, that as imperfect and unqualified a vessel as I may be, that your Holy Spirit, as we've been singing about, will come to show us your truth, that we will be able to hear it and see it for what it is, the very word of God. And so in doing so, we will be shaped and molded by it in our inner person to reflect who you are, to be a light and a beacon to those who need you. And God, that we will be the type of kingdom people who live in your kingdom power, that we might be able to honor and glorify your name as you deserve. Lord, would you bless our time in Jesus' name? Amen. All right, so considering then the three habits of kingdom people living in kingdom power, the first habit I want us to see is that we must be people who pursue God, that we must be people who have a genuine life of devotion to him. Now, in verses 7 through 11, Jesus is talking about a type of devotional life that leads us to constantly and habitually seek out God, to pursue him. Obviously, in verse 7 verse 7, I guess, he says, keep asking, keep searching, keep knocking. The Greek tense there shows us that this is a habitual action, something that we continually do, which reminds us then that the life we live as kingdom people is not to be a Sunday-only type of life. That the life we live for the Lord is not to be something that looks good on the surface, but inside is empty and nothing. But rather, Jesus' point here is that we are to continually be people who are devoting themselves to pursuing God. I know that's a hard task in our busy lives, that we all have jobs and school that we have to go to and that we have after-school activities and all kinds of things that eat up our schedule. But we don't have to necessarily spend hours a day locked in a prayer closet pursuing God in that way. but rather that we have a heart of devotion that seeks to do those things. And so that means that in our free time, and we maybe turn off the TV and open our Bibles, that maybe we take something unnecessary out of the schedule and pursue a deeper prayer life for relationship with God. Do you remember what Jesus has already taught us about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said that our prayer lives are to be private and not for show. That it's to be a genuine act, not on the street corner, propounding these great prayers with triple word score words and theological terms and wonderful deep truths necessarily. When we do that on the street corner, it's probably that we're doing it for show, for the love of man. But rather, when we gather in our prayer closets, in our private places, in our homes, and we are seeking out the heart of God through prayer, that's what honors God. That's what develops deep relationship with Him. And so prayer is not a magic formula of magic words that taps into a magic power that brings about the magic results you want. But rather, prayer, as Jesus has taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, is for genuine relationship with God, who in our verses here is a loving Father who will provide all good things for us that we may need. But we must be pursuing a genuine relationship with God. Pursue God. Jesus tells us that we are to persistently pursue God in prayer and devotion, to keep asking, keep searching, and keep knocking. Jesus tells us that we should be expecting for God to respond because He is much better than any earthly father we could ever be or ever have. And so because God is this wonderful Father, because God is the Father Almighty, as we said in the Apostles' Creed, that He who can do all things will do all things to the person who loves Him and in their prayer closet seeks Him out. Now, it's not a guaranteed promise that you're going to get everything you need. Or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Everything you want. But rather that everything you need will be provided. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And so Jesus here in verses 7 through 11 is telling us that we have this wonderful Father. Let's pursue Him persistently in prayer. So if we want to be people, kingdom people, that live out in the upside down world that reflects Jesus and is a beacon of light to those who need Him, it means that we must be people who are genuinely seeking Him ourselves. And so it's not the fish on the back of your car, or the Christian t-shirt you could wear, or the music that you're listening to in the cubicle down the way. Those might be good things. I'm not saying don't do them. But that cannot be the totality of our public faith. We must be people whose hearts are gripped by God in our devotional lives, that when people do see those things and hear those things and are drawn to it, we can be people who truly respond and share the gospel with them. And so to be a kingdom person living in kingdom power, it means we must pursue God in genuine devotional relationship. Next, what we're going to see is that we must submit to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you are thinking back to our verses, well, where did Jesus mention the Holy Spirit here? It's not in Matthew. So I have to take a break from Matthew and go over to the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Luke. It's nearly identical, but when we get down to verse 11, Matthew says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to you, or sorry, to those who ask Him?" But in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says it this way. "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Now there's a big distinction there between giving the Holy Spirit and then just giving good things. And so I think it's an instructive clue to us what Jesus here is saying, that when we bring in the larger context of the other Gospels, what Jesus here is saying is that when we are pursuing God, He's going to give us the Holy Spirit. Now, theologically, we know when we trust in Jesus as our Savior, we are given the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling life of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who empowers us, who convicts us of sin, who reminds us of the things that we've learned. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. And so that being the case, then, it is true that believers don't always live in the power of the Holy Spirit. At least I hope I'm not the only one. But the call then is, as we are living true lives of devotion, of seeking God in prayer and in Bible study and giving ourselves to Him, what we're going to see is that the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us will begin to have a great sanctifying ministry in our hearts, wherein we put to death the sins of the flesh, where we put to death those things that drive a wedge in our relationship with God and separate us from Him, but rather knit us more closely to Him as we submit to the Holy Spirit. And so we know that devotions then, our personal prayer lives, our Bible studies, the things that we do to devote ourselves to God, ultimately, they can become empty ritual just like anything else. But when we are pursuing God in the submission of the Holy Spirit, He will lead us to the throne of grace in those private times. So when we go into our prayer closet, when we sit down for our Bible study, when we do it in an attitude of submission to the Holy Spirit working in us, that's when those things begin to take real effect. That's when those things begin to sanctify us and convict us and make us into who we should be, so that we will genuinely reflect Christ out in the world. And so, as we've said, the lives of a Christian believer is not to be for show, not to please man, not to aggrandize himself. I can't say that word. I don't know. Build himself up in the eyes of man, I guess. And so the key then is in our private lives, pursue God in submission to the Holy Spirit. What this means then is that we have to set aside any preconceived notions we might have. It means we must set aside ourselves when we're going into these things to seek out God and to hear from His Word. Because it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that these things are made real in our hearts. That's where the sanctifying work begins, where He makes us more like Himself and less like ourselves. Which I know might sound like a difficult thing to hear in a culture that says you're perfect the way you are. But the Bible doesn't have any notion of such a thing. What the Bible tells us is that by nature we are children of wrath. That by nature we are sinful. And by nature we are separated from God. And so this is why it is key then to submit to the Holy Spirit, to pursue God, but ultimately to trust in Jesus as our Savior. Because that's really where the heart is transformed. That's really where the new life of belief will take hold, where the new covenant becomes real in our hearts, is when we trust in Jesus. And so we've seen then, if we're going to be kingdom people who live in kingdom power, we must pursue God and we must submit to the Holy Spirit as He is given to us. Thirdly, what we're going to see in the golden rule is that we are to love like Jesus. He said, therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. This is the law and the prophets. Now, of course, we talked about the phrase the law and the prophets back in Matthew chapter 5. Of course, this is speaking then of the Old Testament. The summation of the Old Testament, Jesus here is saying, is all it. We've heard it before as love God and love your neighbor. But here what he's saying is to do as for others as you would have them do for you. Now, in study, it might seem like this verse might be unconnected with 7 through 11 or the rest of the context of the Sermon on the Mount. that maybe this is just a summary statement of it all. And maybe that is, but I think what we see in verse 12 is that it begins with a word, therefore, which connects it with the previous context, which shows us then that there is a purpose for what Jesus here is saying in connection with what he just said. Ultimately, I think then what we can conclude is that you cannot love like Jesus if you do not live in relationship with God, pursuing him and the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, we can be nice. We can be kind to people. We can be good and moral in the eyes of the world, but I don't think that we can truly love people as we should as believers in Jesus, as people who have been redeemed by his blood or through his blood. But we must be people who pursue God in the genuine inner man, the private context of devotion submitted to the Holy Spirit, then enables us to live as Jesus did, or to love as Jesus did. And so we can be nice and good and charitable and all of that those good things, but you know, some of the atheists I've known have been some of the most moral and good and charitable people I've ever met. The difference is a heart that knows God. It's not enough just to be good or moral or charitable. You know, Jesus lived his life in constant relationship with the Father in his devotional practice. He was the ultimate example of pursuing God. He was the ultimate example of submission to the power of the Holy Spirit as he ministered. And so, therefore, if you want to live according to the golden rule, you must live and love as Jesus did, pursuing God in the submission of the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus live and love? Sacrificially, for the good of others. Not always considering himself, not even mostly considering himself, I would say. But rather giving of himself, his time, his energy. Himself. So if we're going to be kingdom people, living in kingdom power, we must love as Jesus did, sacrificially. Of course, we know that ultimately was fulfilled in the cross. That Jesus sacrificially gave his own life, his own being on the cross. An instrument of torture, capital punishment. He endured so that through his shed blood and broken body, we might have the opportunity to be redeemed. That through his sacrifice, the power of sin and death over us would be broken if we come to faith in him. And so this morning, I want to consider two final questions. Are you beat down by the struggles of everyday life? Do you want to live with kingdom power and have joy? To me, these answers are obvious, but it's answers that you must have in your own heart. Some are content to live in the struggles of everyday life, being wrapped up in the mundane, the everyday things that happen. But what we see from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is that there is a much grander and greater reality that we all get to live in when we come to faith in him. And so this morning, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit might be working in your heart, that he might be going before and causing you to see these things in a new way, helping you to see that Jesus is pursuing your hearts, that he wants you to be made new and put in a new and peaceful and grand and loving relationship with our Father. And the way we do that, the way we transcend this mundane day-to-day struggle in life, is by trusting in Jesus as Savior. It reminds me of a great piece of wisdom that you keep doing the same things over and over again, you're going to get the same results over and over again. You won't find escape by looking in all of the same places. What you're going to find is an even deeper hole. What you're going to find is an even darker place. Rather, you find escape, you find salvation, you find release in a relationship with God that begins with trusting in what Jesus has done for you. And so this morning, my prayer is that you will see that there is this greater life, this greater reality available to us all, that we don't have to be stuck. We don't have to live in this life of the upside-down world where everything is topsy-turvy, however you say that, I don't know. But where the world just constantly beats you down and draws you away from a life that honors the Father. And in seeing this greater reality, this greater life that you and I can have, that you would hold fast to the means of procuring that greater life, the cross and resurrection of Christ, where victory is secured, where we can find true and new life. By loving Him, submitting to Him, and following Him in discipleship. This kind of life is available to us all if we will submit to Him and trust in Him as Savior. This morning, hopefully the Holy Spirit's been working on you, showing you the truths of these things, that there is a kingdom power far greater than this world can offer, because there is a kingdom life far greater than this world offers. And if you want to live in that kingdom power, it means pursue God in your devotion and private life for believers, but maybe for unbelievers, that means pursuing God is setting aside the things of this world and trusting in what He has done for you by sending His Son, Jesus. Pursue God by pursuing a relationship with Him and a renewed and redeemed life through the shed blood and resurrection of Christ. You know, what He did on that cross was to provide for the forgiveness of our sins, the atonement that we needed to cleanse those sins that are an offense to God. The death that He died is the one that you and I deserve. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so what we learn then is that death and suffering that Jesus did so long ago, so far away, was for you and I here this morning. That if we would say, yes, that is my only hope. That is the only hope for anyone to come to a renewed relationship with God to be saved. If God is calling you to that this morning, don't turn your attention away. But rather submit to the Holy Spirit's regenerating work in your heart. To come to a knowledge of the Father through Jesus Christ the Son and be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And you too can live in kingdom power that transcends this world. In a second, I'm going to pray and have our time of invitation. And this is a time to respond to God's Word and what it may be calling you to do this morning. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up and get ready to lead us in our time of invitation. And I want to encourage you this morning, challenge you this morning maybe, to respond to God finally. I know it's easy to feel those things and to ignore them for a time. But we don't know when the time may come when we will be called to the judgment seat of God. And your only hope is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so this morning in our time of invitation, respond to what God may be saying to you and your heart. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank You for Your Word, which tells us these wonderful things, that we can live in kingdom power by pursuing relationship with You, by submitting to the Holy Spirit, enabling us to love like Jesus, who gave His life for us, rose again from the dead 3 days later, to give us victory over the enemies of sin and death. God, would that reality grip our hearts this morning and continue to do so as we keep seeking you, as we keep asking you, and we keep knocking on the door. Would you do a mighty work in each of our hearts this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.